blot out my offenses.
Welcome to the Wednesday Gathering, a live Christian Science teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by prayerfulliving.com and open to all. We are delighted that you have joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. For those of you with a computer, our web address is prayerfulgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive. Now let us join together in song with hymn number 49.
Dear Lord and Father of us all, forgive our foolish ways. Reclothe us in our rightful mind, in purer lives thy service find, in deeper reverence.
Again, welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. The topic of today's healing message is, You Are Forgiven. The hymns are 49, number 163, and number 263. I shall be reading from the J.B. Phillips and New Living Translation versions of the Bible and correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. The Bible. Isaiah. But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you says, Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as a ransom for your freedom. I give Ethiopia and Saba in your place. Others were given in exchange for you. I traded their lives for yours because you are precious to me. You are honored, and I love you. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will gather you and your children from east and west. I will say to the north and south, Bring my sons and daughters back to Israel from the distant corners of the earth. Bring all who claim me as their God, for I have made them for my glory. It was I who created them. Bring out the people who have eyes but are blind, who have ears but are deaf. Gather the nations together. Assemble the peoples of the world. Which of their idols have ever foretold such things? Which can predict what will happen tomorrow? Where are the witnesses of such predictions? Who can verify that they spoke the truth? But you are my witnesses, O Israel, said the Lord. You are my servant. You have been chosen to know me, believe in me, and understand that I alone am God. There is no other God. There never has been and never will be. I am the Lord, and there is no other Savior. First, I protected your rescue, then I saved you and proclaimed it to the world. No foreign God has ever done this. You are witnesses that I am the only God, says the Lord. From eternity to eternity, I am God. No one can snatch anyone out of my hand. No one can undo what I have done. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sakes, I will send an army against Babylon, forcing the Babylonians to flee in those ships they are so proud of. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator and King. I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves, and they drowned. Their life snuffed out like smoldering candlewick. But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. The animals in the fields will thank me, the jackals and the owls, too, for giving them water in the desert. If I will make rivers in the dry wasteland, so my chosen people can be refreshed. I have made Israel for myself, and they will someday honor me before the whole world. The dear family of Jacob, you refuse to ask for my help. You have grown tired of me, O Israel. You have not brought me sheep or goats for burnt offerings, and you have not honored me with sacrifices, though I have not burdened and wearied you with requests for grain offerings and frankincense. You have not brought me fragrant calamus or pleased me with the fat from sacrifices. Instead, you have burdened me with your sins and wearied me with your faults. I, yes, I alone, will blot out your sins for my own sake and will never think of them again. Jeremiah. And they will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, "You should know the Lord, for everyone from the least to the greatest will know me already," says the Lord. "And I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins." Ephesians. We have been ransomed through the Son's blood, and we have forgiveness for our failures based on His overflowing grace, which He poured over us with wisdom and understanding. God revealed His hidden design to us, which is according to His goodwill, and the plan that He intended to accomplish through His Son. This is what God planned for the climax of all times, to bring all things together in Christ, the things in heaven along with the things on earth. We have also received an inheritance in Christ. We were destined by the plan of God, who accomplishes everything according to His design. We are called to be an honor to God's glory because we were the first to hope in Christ. Hebrews. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By His death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting Him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Philippians. Brothers and sisters, I myself don't think I've reached it, but I do this one thing. I forget about the things behind me and reach out to the things ahead of me. The goal I pursue is the prize of God's upward call in Christ Jesus. Romans. So now there isn't any condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The wages that sin pays are death, but God's gift is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. 2 Corinthians. It isn't what we ourselves are qualified to claim that anything came from us. No, our qualification is from God. Philippians. Therefore, my loved ones, just as you always obey me, not just when I am present, but now even more while I am away, carry out your own salvation with fear and trembling. God is the one who enables you both to want and to actually live out His good purposes. Do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure and innocent children of God. And from Science and Health. Atonement is the exemplification of man's unity with God, whereby man reflects divine truth, life, and love. We acknowledge God's forgiveness of sin and the destruction of sin and the spiritual understanding that casts out evil as unreal. The atonement is a hard problem in theology, but its scientific explanation is that suffering is an error of sinful sense which truth destroys, and that eventually both sin and suffering will fall at the feet of everlasting love. The atonement requires constant self-immolation on the sinner's part. Sin brought death, and death will disappear with the disappearance of sin. Every pang of repentance and suffering, every effort for reform, every good thought and deed will help us to understand Jesus' atonement for sin and aid its efficacy. But if the sinner continues to pray and repent, sin, and be sorry, he has little part in the atonement, in the at-one-ment with God, for he lacks the practical repentance, which reforms the heart and enables man to do the will of wisdom. By it, we may become involuntary hypocrites, uttering desires which are not real and consoling ourselves in the midst of sin with the recollection that we have prayed over it or mean to ask forgiveness at some later day. This is having part in the atonement. This is the understanding in which Jesus suffered and triumphed. Such prayer heals sickness and must destroy sin and death. The death of a false material sense and of sin, not the death of organic matter, is what reveals man and life, harmonious, real, and eternal. The atonement of Christ reconciles man to God, not God to man, for the divine principle of Christ is God. And how can God propitiate himself? I am thankful for all these proofs, but far more grateful am I for the spiritual teaching to love, to forgive, to curb my tongue, and cease my criticism. Man is incapable of sin, sickness, and death. It was therefore Christ's purpose to reconcile man to God, not God to man. He came teaching and showing men how to destroy sin, sickness, and death. Then being will be recognized as spiritual, and death will be obsolete, though now some insist that death is a necessary prelude to immortality. Even Christ cannot reconcile truth to error, for truth and error are irreconcilable. We acknowledge Jesus' atonement as the evidence of divine, efficacious love, unfolding man's unity with God through Christ Jesus, the way-shower. And we acknowledge that man is saved through Christ, through truth, life, and love, as demonstrated by the Galilean prophet in healing the sick and overcoming sin and death. This concludes the healing message and the publicly recorded portion of this meeting.
For the